Welcome back to the Learn English Podcast, the podcast teaching English in context so you can learn naturally. On today's episode, we're actually going to do a part two. We are going to do a continuation of a previous episode that we did last year. And the reason is that last year I did an episode about a very important person in American history. And I said at the time that I did not want to put everything into one episode, and I wanted to be able to discuss fully what this person did. So, on today's episode, we're going to do a continuation of that story, and we're going to talk more about this mysterious person who is my favorite person in American history. Who am I talking about? Well, stick around and follow along because we're about to begin. Before we start, I just want to remind you to look at the description of this podcast episode. There you will find a list of the words and phrases that I used in the episode so you can take them and start building your English vocabulary. Now let's talk about who this person is. If you were a listener last year, if you have been listening to our previous episodes, you might remember that last January we did an episode on Martin Luther King Jr. And the reason we did that episode in January was because it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And today is also Martin Luther King Jr. Day. He is so important in American history that we do have a day to honor him every January, the third Monday of January, to celebrate his legacy and his achievements here in the United States. I will leave an iCard to last year's episode if you want to watch it, if you're watching it on YouTube. That way you can watch part one of the story. I would recommend starting with that particular episode because this is going to be a continuation of that story. Last year, we talked about Martin Luther King's childhood and his beginnings in the civil rights movement. And today we're going to continue on with his achievements. One other thing that I want to mention is that last year I said this, but I want to say it again because you'll hear this in today's episode. There are a number of ways to refer to Martin Luther King Jr. That is his official name. His father had the same name, so his father was Senior and he was Junior. However, his name is pretty long, and a lot of times you'll hear people shorten it. You'll hear Martin Luther King. So people will not say the junior part at the end. You'll also hear MLK, which are his initials, or you might hear Dr. King because he did get his doctorate. We mentioned that in the previous episode. All of those are acceptable ways to refer to him, and you will probably hear me say them. In the United States, we use all of them pretty interchangeably. So I will probably say all four in this episode. When I say them, just know that I am referring to one person, Martin Luther King Jr. Last time we talked about his beginnings in the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement was a period of time in the 1960s where people fought for equal rights as American citizens. Minority citizens, which included African Americans, were usually not given the same opportunities as people who were white Americans. Even though the laws and the Constitution of the United States said that everyone should be treated equally, a lot of times they weren't. This was true throughout most of the country, but especially in the southern part of the United States, what we refer to as the South. In these locations, people were segregated, which means that they were separated based on race. African Americans and white Americans were not able to use the same services. They were not able to go to the same hospitals, go to the same schools, or even use the same drinking fountains. There would be signs in windows of businesses that would say whites only, and what that meant was white Americans were able to go into the store, but people who were African American were not. Because people were not treated equally, people started fighting to have equal rights. They wanted to have equal rights. And that's what the civil rights movement is. Dr. King became part of the civil rights movement because he was from the South and he wanted to use nonviolent methods to try to campaign for equal rights. His philosophy was inspired by Mahatma Gandhi, and he really wanted to make sure that the movement stayed peaceful. He used marches, which is when people protest, when people walk through the streets protesting for a certain cause. He also used boycotts, which is when you do not buy from a certain business, you don't give them your money. That's what the Montgomery bus boycott was about. And he also used sit-ins. Now, sit-in in the name tells you what it means. It is where you sit in a particular location and you refuse to move. It is a form of nonviolent protest. What would happen in the southern part of the United States is that people would go to restaurants that had signs that said whites only, and they would go up to the counter, or they would go to a table and they would just sit there. And they would ask to be served like any other person who was in the restaurant. Even though this seems like it was very logical, like they should be able to go in and eat at a restaurant, this was actually illegal because these restaurants or these diners did not accept African American customers. Even though these were nonviolent protests, the police response was usually violent and pretty violent. There are famous photographs and videos of police using water cannons and police dogs and beating protesters who took part in these nonviolent means of protest. During this time, because these activities were considered to be illegal, Dr. King was arrested, and he was also arrested in particular at the city of Birmingham, Alabama. Now, I know Birmingham is a city in England and they pronounce it very differently, but here in the United States, we say Birmingham, so it is Birmingham, Alabama. At the time, the city was one of the most racially segregated cities in the entire country. In April of 1963, Dr. King went to the city and took part in these sit-in protests. He was arrested, and while he was in jail, there was a letter that was published by eight white clergymen. A clergyman is a religious leader. Think of a priest, a pastor, a rabbi, someone along those lines. These eight clergymen argued in the letter that Dr. King should maybe not be doing what he's doing, that all of this commotion, which means all of this noise and attention that was going on because of these protests he was doing, was maybe not worth it. Maybe it was doing more harm than good. Maybe he should stop doing it. Martin Luther King read this letter while he was in jail, and he wrote a letter back in response. His response is considered to be one of the most important documents in the civil rights movement, and it is now called Letter from a Birmingham Jail. In the letter, Dr. King writes that it is a very important issue to fight for equal rights. He says that it is a moral issue. So, if you are a religious person, if you're a moral person or good person, you should want other people to be treated equally. One of the most famous quotes from this letter is that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I will say that I read this letter when I was in school. Millions of American students have read this letter, and millions will read this letter while they're also in their schooling. That is because this letter is considered to be that important. It is considered to be one of the most important arguments for civil rights and a crucial part of the civil rights movement. So, crucial means extremely important, very important. And this letter just argued so forcefully about why it was important that people take part in the civil rights movement. I will leave a link so you can read the letter if you would like to. I will also leave a link to a video of Dr. King reading his letter out loud. He was known to be a very good writer and a very good speaker. So you might find the letter a little bit challenging if your English level isn't very high. But of course, if you are interested in viewing them, I will leave links so you can do so. After he was released from jail, Dr. King continued his work and continued his activism in the civil rights movement. And in August of 1963, he took part in one of the most famous protests in American history. On August 23rd, 1963, Dr. King took part in a protest that is called the March on Washington. This was a protest through the streets of Washington, D.C., which is the capital of the United States. The crowd that took part in the protest was very diverse. There were people from all sorts of backgrounds. There were African Americans, white Americans, religious leaders, trade union workers, people from all walks of life, as we say. At the time, this crowd of 250,000 was the largest protest in American history, and the March on Washington went through the streets, and the speakers spoke from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. You might not know, but Abraham Lincoln was the 14th president of the United States. He was the president when the Civil War was occurring, and he was the one who officially ended slavery in the US. That is why Dr. King spoke from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and his speech is called the I Have a Dream speech. It is probably one of the most famous speeches, and it is called the I Have a Dream speech because that is the phrase that he uses a lot in the speech. He talks about his dreams or his hopes for the future of the country. The speech itself is not very long, but it is very impactful. It does have a lot of meaning in the speech. And throughout the speech, he talks about how he hopes the future will be better.
I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
In the speech, he says, I have a dream that one day little black boys and girls will be holding hands with little white boys and girls.
One day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
Of course, looking back on it, that seems so obvious nowadays that is completely normal to see children of different races playing together. But of course, you have to think back to the time that was not considered normal, especially in the southern states of the United States. Another famous quote from the speech is, I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I have a dream. That my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
I say that this is one of the most famous speeches because this speech is quoted all the time when people are talking about Martin Luther King. And it's one of the speeches that American students read when they are going through school. I can say that when I was in school, there were two speeches that we had to memorize. One of them was a speech by Abraham Lincoln, and the second one was the I Have a Dream speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. I will leave links to the speech so you can hear Dr. King giving the speech. We say that he was a very powerful orator. An orator is someone who is very good with their words, is very good at giving speeches. And Dr. King definitely was a very impactful, a very powerful orator. The events and accomplishments of 1963 really changed the history of the United States. Of course, Dr. King continued on in his work, and there were some major changes in the country in 1964 that were a direct result of his actions in 1963. But we'll talk about those in a future episode. For right now, we're just going to stop right here in August of 1963 on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial at the end of Dr. King's speech. We will continue his story in future episodes because, like I said, there is just so much to know when it comes to Dr. King. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned something about Dr. King and why he's considered such an important figure in the United States. He was able to accomplish so many things and he had such an impact on this country, and hopefully you can see why I consider him to be one of my favorite historical figures. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell me, let me know. If you would like more episodes like this in the future, leave a comment and tell me, because there are a lot of people in the history of the United States. There's a lot of people that we can talk about, but of course, I don't know if you like this type of episode unless you let me know. If you are enjoying the podcast, if it's helping you learn English, please consider leaving us a rating on whatever app you use to listen to this podcast on. You can also tell a friend, tell a family member, tell someone who is learning English. You can also follow us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.